Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Pastor Derek Dunn, lead pastor of City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more about City Harvest or Pastor Derek, please visit chcus.org or derekdunn.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform at chcus and Derek Dunn OC.
Praise the Lord. Today we're talking about men. And so I'm going to talk about the role of men. And so we talk a lot about the role of women. And I know the women heard that. But we need to talk about the role of men. We need strong men during tough times. And, you know, the answer to the problems we face, you know, are strong leaders. The problem we face in the world today is that we don't have strong leaders. But what's the answer? It's strong leaders. So we need to believe God and leaders rising up in the church, men and women together, but especially for men, God has called us to be leaders. If we're not leading in our own, over our own lives, we're not leading in the marketplace, we're not leading in our families, we're not going to be able to lead in the church, and we're going to see society being broken down. And we see, you know, the assault of the family. We live in a world where the fatherless generation is there, and we have absentee fathers, divorce is prevalent, you know, one parent home that are there. And I grew up in, you know, in a divorced family. My dad was in the military, so he traveled, so he didn't live in state. We saw him at Christmas and in the summer, but he wasn't really able to be there. But because I was in a church where there were strong men, I had strong examples. That's not the ideal, but the church is supposed to be a place where we can be the father to the fatherless, so we can be a mother to the motherless, and bringing them in and having that identity. So sometimes, you know, even as a man, we don't really have a great role model. What makes a great man? You look at, you know, Men's Health magazine, it's the guy with the 8-pack, you know, who doesn't really look like a man. He's been airbrushed, you know, and you know, we create this image of what it is and of what masculinity is. But really, what is a manhood? It's not in our just masculinity. You can, not just because you can procreate, come on, just because you went through puberty, you can have children, but that doesn't make you a man. Are you here? And so what is really manhood? Manhood and Christ-likeness are synonymous. To be a man, it means that we're becoming more like Jesus, taking on his stature, taking on the nature, the fullness of him. So manhood and Christ-likeness are synonymous. We say that you can be a male by birth, but you're a man by choice and choosing to be like Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Oh, that was weak, guys. 1, 2, 3. Come on. All right, so from God's perspective, what is the role of men? We want to delve in that today. And we see the key role of men in relationships. You know, we always hear these jokes and we joke about the struggle and the tension that's many times there between men and women. Someone said this, a wife said this. He said, "My husband may be the head, but I'm the neck that turns the head." I got real quiet. One woman said this, "He may wear the pants, but I'm the one who puts the pants on." One woman said this, "My husband, he says he runs the house, but he meant he runs the washing machine, the vacuum cleaner, and the kitchen." And so we hear this kind of things going on, and it shows the thing. We laugh sometimes, but what do we see? We see the disparity of leadership in the home. And so people say, you know, how do I become a good husband? So many men I talk to, they're like, you know, I'm a bit nervous about getting married. Will I make a good husband? And then when we're married, about having a kid, am I going to be a good father? And so what are we really saying? Am I going to be able to lead my wife? Am I going to be able to lead my family, lead my children? And that's the dilemma that's there. But I would put this to you. Learn how to be a leader while you're single. Learn how to lead yourself. Learn how to grow in Christ's likeness. So when you get married, you're not going to have as many issues. Say, "Pastor, you mean I'm going to have issues?" Yes, you're going to have issues because men and women are different. Come on, no matter how equipped you are, you get married to keep growing. Come on. And become more like Jesus. Amen? But I thank God when I got married, my wife had a level of maturity. You know, she was in her early 30s. I was, you know, my like 29, 28, I think. And she can correct me probably, but around there, you know, we got married. But I'm glad I didn't get married at 19. Because I was a mess. Come on. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I wasn't mature. I was living for myself. But God brought about maturity. So for all the single ladies out there, all the single ladies, you know, don't be in a hurry because God's working on the man and you want him to have some maturity before he becomes your husband. And for the women, God might be working on you too. Amen. So don't rush the process. But when we come together, no matter how mature we are, there's still that process of growth. But we want to be the men that God has called us to be. What is the key role of a man in relationship, in life? What is God destined? We got to go back to God. Society says many things about the role of men, and now we're so confused, we don't know what is a man and what is a woman. You can wake up someday and you don't feel very manly, that don't make you a woman. You're still a man. Say amen. And so, Pastor, getting a little sensitive. If that makes you uncomfortable, you got a problem. I'm sorry. That's called biology in for 2,000 years. But what is being a man? It's not about what we feel. It's not about our ego. It's not about what the world says. It's about what God says. And Ephesians 5, verse 22, the Bible says this, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Father, we thank you for the wonderful time of praise and worship. We thank you, God, for all you're doing in our midst, God. And we know that you are the hope of the world, that God, you are the creator. And God, you have created man and woman unique and beautifully made, God, for your plans and your purpose. So God, give us ears to hear, eyes to see what you speak to us today in Jesus' name. Everyone said, what does it say? The husband is what? To be the head of the wife. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not married yet. Well, read the rest of the chapter. Come on, the rest of the verses. One of the problems we had, there was one, a man, I think, you know, a European man came in and put all the chapters in the Bible. And then another man, came in, he was a French man, he put all the verses in the Bible. But the book is a book. You can't take a few verses or one verse and take it out of context. Come on. How many know in a conversation people do that and you get into a lot of trouble? They only hear one sentence and never heard the paragraph. And so he mixes out, well, I'm not married, so forget the rest. No. What is it talking about here? It's talking about the role of a man who is eventually a husband. It's talking about the role of wife, a woman who eventually becomes a wife. So if you're a single woman, you don't have a husband to submit to. But who do you submit to? Jesus. You submit to your father, your natural father. You submit to the spiritual authority that God's put over you with this attitude. As a man, well, I don't have a wife, so I don't have to do all these things. No, you need to develop these attributes, the character, this nature of what God is saying. It doesn't happen overnight just because you put a ring on it and all of a sudden, well, now I'm a husband. Are you here? So what is it talking about here? It says here, love our wives as Christ loved the church. So the example here is Christ, that Christ loved, and what did he do? He laid down his life. He gave himself for the church. He desired to sanctify her by the washing of the word of God. He was someone who lived life and based on the word. When the enemy came against him, what did he do? It wasn't his masculinity. Look how big my biceps are. He wasn't flexing at the devil. He said, it is written. His power was not in his natural strength. The Bible says it's not by our might, our natural strength. It's not by our power, our skills, our ability. It's by the Spirit of God. And so we our strength is in that. And so what? He brings about cleansing. Just as Christ desires to cleanse the church, just that purity would come, just so that we would get out the unholy things. That's what we should be doing as men. Over our own lives, in our family, that's the role that we have in a family. That's the role in a society that we should bring good. Well, I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to, talk about people. Say, well, don't talk about politics. What is politics? It's your values that are clashing with someone else's values. It's not about a person, a politician. But what do you believe concerning family? What do you believe concerning marriage? What do you believe on the way that we should do things economically, socially? And where do we get those convictions? From the Bible. So we don't make it personal, but hey, I stand up for something. You can say you are whoever you are. You can dress however you want to. You can look like a clown, but you're not a clown. Right. You are. You're who God made you to be. And so we've got to have that conviction. But the Bible says here that the husband in verse 23 is the head. That means what? He's the one who takes charge. He's the one who takes leadership. Well, sorry, many times we hear people say, well, now who put him in charge? Who said he's in charge? God did. Okay, so you want to take it up with God. Don't get upset with me. I'm going to leave church because I'm here. No. God said it. I just have to repeat it. Amen? But we get out of order because we don't follow the principle of God. Amen? So what is God saying? For God, in God's perspective, he holds the man responsible. Leadership is not dictatorship. Leadership has to do with responsibility. That the buck stops here. Are you here? And so we see that in the garden in Genesis chapter 2 in verse 15, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden, and he said, you need to tend it, you need to keep it. And the Lord God commanded who? Man. Adam. He said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man be alone. I'll make for him a helper comparable to him. That word comparable means equal. So again, men are not dictators. A woman is not equal to him. And people, even in the church, get that out of line. Well, you know, a woman, you know, can't be in leadership. That's not what God is saying. He's talking about in responsibility in the role. Are you here? And so he said, went on, he said to the woman, he said, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception and pain. You'll bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband and he shall what? Rule over you. So the active role of a husband in that kind of relationship is what? To be the responsible leader. Why? Because God said you're responsible. Amen. So why is it that men don't lead? Many times we don't lead because of wrong beliefs. We're taught and society says something else. And so what do? We abdicate our authority. We abdicate leadership. Why? Because we say to ourselves many things. We say, I don't know enough to lead. Come on, how many of you know there's some smart women out there? In our church, we got some smart women. My wife's a smart lady. Are you here? But we think because of that, our insecurity, well, I'm not as good. I'm not as eloquent. How many of you know women talk more than men do? They use more words. They're sometimes clearer. We give very short answers. Are you here? Women might take more words, but they get it across. They add color to it. Men many times are black and white. Not always, but that's the case. So we say, I don't know enough to be a leader, so we don't lead. What's the other thing? We say, well, I'm not very confident to lead. Maybe we didn't have a good example. Maybe we came around, we grew up around strong women that we saw how they led, but we didn't see a strong male figure. And so what do? We say, well, I'm not confident to lead. I don't know how I can lead. Or we see the image of what we think manhood is, and we thought, well, that's not me, so I must not be able to lead. A man who is not leading is a man who's not confident. Are you here? A man who struggles with insecurity will be fearful to lead. Now, do we all deal with insecurity? Of course we do. Do we all have fear and things that come? You know, sometimes the biggest bullies, they're the most insecure people. So they try to lord over it and put other people down and make themselves feel better. Doesn't mean they're strong. Are you here? But what does God say? In the midst of fear, what do we need to do? We need to be courageous. Amen. God told Joshua, be bold, be courageous. Because he was filling some pretty big shoes. But he was able to step into leadership because he made a decision to be a leader. Another thing we say sometimes in our wrong belief is we say, I'm not successful enough. I don't make enough money. I'm not as educated. And we make all these excuses to hold back from leading. But leadership is not about how much money we make. It's not about how much education we have. It's not about other people's perspective of us. It's about God's perspective. And God says that we are leaders as men. Amen? Now, the second reason we don't lead is not just because of wrong beliefs. It's because of wrong behavior. We've seen wrong behavior. What happens? You know, you tell a father would tell his kid, don't do what I do. And what's the kid going to do? Exactly what he told him not to do. You have a smoker and says, don't smoke. It's terrible for you. What's the kid going to do? He's going to go out and smoke. He's going to steal dad's cigarettes and go out and try it. Are you here? Yeah. Say amen or oh me. Some of you are back in your BC days. Come on. Because people don't do what you say. They do what you do. And so we've learned the wrong behaviors. Sometimes we learn the wrong behaviors because of what we saw. And what's some of the wrong behavior? First type of wrong behavior is passivity. So what we've seen men that are passive, because they don't like conflict, they just keep quiet. So we come up with sayings, this, whatever your mother says. We come up with sayings and say, happy wife, happy life. And I get that, but let me tell you, if you're just trying to do whatever a woman wants to make her happy, that will not make her happy. Come on. That's not what a woman wants. Sometimes they don't even know what to make them happy. Are you here? They're not wanting the answer. They're wanting leadership. They're not wanting more things. They're wanting support and leadership. But we've learned passivity. What is passivity? Backing off the moment leadership is needed. Passivity is backing off the moments leader. So we pull back in leadership. We pull back in our schools. We pull back in our business. We pull back in our church. We pull back in our marriage. And we're just passive. I'm just going to be a peacekeeper. Wow. And keep the peace. But something shuts down on the inside and things are out of order. When there's not order, there's no blessing. We've learned that. James 4 verse 17 says this, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. The sin of omission is greater than the sin of commission. What's commission? The things you commit. If you're working out stuff and you're committing sin and you're working on it, there's grace. There's mercy. We're all a work in progress. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a work in progress. Come on. Some of us are farther along in other areas, but we're all dealing with stuff. But what does it say? The sin of omission, meaning you know to do right. You have the ability to do right, but you don't do it. That is sin. And so what we're doing, we're not taking the role that God's given us. We're not taking the leadership, and we abdicate leadership that God has called us. We abdicate responsibility, but God still holds us responsible. In Genesis 13, verse 16, the Bible says, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. Who did God say this to? He said that to Abraham. But how many of you know Sarah was still involved? Yeah. Come on, a man cannot be fruitful and multiply by himself. No matter what. Well, man can have babies. There's science and can do it. No, you're called an experiment. You're not being fruitful and multiply. That's not what God called us to do. But if you don't lead your wife, if you don't lead, someone else will lead. Yes. It could be your in-laws, your outlaws. It can be the wrong influences. You can have some people, the wife's girlfriend's leading the marriage. Come on, calling up. You can't believe what you need to do. I heard some people, you know, that person that will lock the doors and change the lock. Who are you listening to? That person that's had 5 breakups and 3 divorces. Get some better advice. Are you here? What happens? It becomes ugly. Why? Because of passivity. What happens in the wrong behavior? Sometimes the behavior becomes abusive because of frustration. We launch out with verbal abuse. Sometimes there's even physical abuse because of frustration. If you and I'm not condoning that. It's not to make it right, but it makes it understandable. We've got to deal with the issue. Are you here? Also, wrong behavior is absent. So what happened? Well, a man shuts down. And so we see many times we have the absentee husband, father. What do they do? Ask your mother. They don't want to make a decision. And what are they? They're just the bad guy. Even mom comes home. You know, they're the dictator. Come on. Just wait till your father comes home. You better whip that boy when you get home. Come on. I'm just joking. But sometimes the frustration. And what happened? You're not even involved in the decision-making process. You're not even involved. You're just doing it. And what happens? The children don't respect the father. What happened? We become absent. What happened? We're staying at the office later and later and later. Playing golf, going out with the buddies, spending time away. Why? Because of self-esteem. Because of a time where we've been emasculated. So this kind of thing happens. Someone said this, don't stay as busy as a bee, or you may wake up one morning to find your honey missing. I like that. Come on. If you're too busy and you're not focused and you're not nurturing, what happened? You lose your honey. And you know it's not talking about honey. It's talking about your honey. Come on. So what comes to our mind when we think of the man is as the head, the leader, the ruler, the one that takes charge. And I want to break this down. What are the roles of a man? What are the things that women want? 7 things that women want from a man to lead in. Number one, they want the man to be the protector. Someone say the protector. I mean, we watch the shows and we always see the knight in shining armor, rescuing the princess, riding off into the sunset, and all the girls are like, oh. You're gonna find your knight in shining armor, you know? But what do we have that's a facade that what happens? But what is it speaking of? It's speaking of that desire in a woman that when the husband comes home, he's the protector. Everything's gonna be home because daddy's home. Everything's gonna be okay because my husband's home. Because you have that support and that strength. Are you here? Women are the weaker vessel. Not less, but God's creating them differently. Are you here? Men are called to be that protector. Now, if you're single, you're not unprotected. Come on, Jesus is your protector. You have under the covering of your father. So you're not unprotected. But that's the thing. There's protection there. My girls, you better not mess with my girls. I got 2 guns and 2 daughters. That's all I'm going to say. Come on. All Pastor, I don't really like that. Well, I'm a protector. When I had my son, there was a great feeling. But when I had a daughter, there was a different emotion that came out. Come on. Amen. And so we're a protector. You better not mess with my daughter. Come on. You mess with my daughter, you're going to mess with me. Amen. I'm a protector. You know, you better treat her right. Amen. Amen. So we are protecting our home. We're to protect the home. You know, we're to protect from outside influence. That doesn't just speak of physically, but outside influence. It shouldn't be just our wife that's discerning and knows when the devil's trying to attack. We should be the prayer warrior. We should be praying and standing in the spirit. We should be taking authority over our home. We should be quoting the word. Come on, when Jesus, the devil came after Jesus, he didn't call for Mama Mary. He knew how to fight the devil. He knew the word of God. Well, what was that? I better call my wife. Babe, what was that scripture again? You better get the word in your own life. Amen. Don't be calling your mama. Amen. Are you here? Yeah. We got to lead ourselves so that we can protect. Romans 5 verse 12 says, therefore, just as one man, sin entered the world and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. What? Through one man? I've heard men say, oh, it's that woman Eve, man. It's women. Women have been the problem from the beginning. God says through one man, not through one woman. But wait, Pastor, didn't Eve eat the apple first? What does the Bible say here? Why didn't God hold Eve responsible? Because Eve wasn't the leader. Adam was. In 1 Timothy 2 verse 13, it says, "For Paul says to Timothy, for Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." So what does it say? Eve wasn't deceived. Why? God never spoke to Eve about the apple. Where did Eve hear about the apple from? From Adam. And so in Genesis, we go back to the beginning, we see here Adam was there, but he didn't protect Eve. In Genesis 3:6, it says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. He didn't protect her. He was passive, and he didn't take his leadership role, and because of that, sin entered in. When a man doesn't take order, what happens? A nation, sin will enter in. When a man doesn't take order in his family, sin will enter in. People always say, well, you know, we talk about the Jezebel spirit. Oh, that woman, she's under a Jezebel spirit. And a man can operate under that. But many times women operate under that. But what was the problem with Jezebel in the Bible? It wasn't Jezebel's problem. She wasn't king. It was Ahab. Yeah. Ahab should have said, woman, you need to sit down and keep quiet. You ain't going to go and kill all these people, and you better not be touching the prophet. But Ahab was a wimp. Ahab didn't stand up. Ahab was afraid of his wife. Ahab allowed demonic influence to come in, and he didn't rule, so he lost his rulership. Drought came in. Famine came in. The judgment came in because he didn't stand in his authority. Adam didn't protect Eve. And because Adam was the husband, he failed to protect Eve. What happened? God held Adam responsible. Again, it's not the sin of omission. It's It's the sin of omission. Adam failed to protect Eve. And so when God came, what did Adam do? He said, the woman you gave me, she told me to eat. And God judged him. I heard someone said this. He said, a failure is not one who fails. You're not a failure because you failed. You're a failure when you stop taking responsibility for your failure. I like that. Why? Because if you take responsibility and get up and make things right, if Adam hadn't done it and hadn't eaten, said, woman, where's the machete? And cut the head off the snake. You know, if he was Asian, they would have cooked him. I think the story would have been a little different. Because Adam was the one who was an authority. But he abdicated his authority, he ate, and he didn't protect. Women want men to be protectors. That's God's ideal for men, to be protectors. Number two, what are women wanting? What is God wanting? God's called us to be the provider. What do we provide? Provide emotional support. Some men are shut down. They provide no emotional support. And the woman is struggling with that. We should provide leadership. We should provide... naturally, You know, and when we first got married, my wife, I told my wife, I said, look, you know, we're going to live at a certain level. My wife was working, and I encouraged her to do that. You know, she's not the housewife type, if you haven't noticed, who just sits home and thinks about what meal to cook next, you know, and nothing wrong with that, but that's not her grace. Amen. You know, and she can cook, and we do that, but she's a businesswoman. She's out in the marketplace. She's called to do something. You know, she's not one of those wives that just sits there and plays the piano and looks pretty. She likes to preach. She likes to, you know, and I love that. That's the kind of woman I needed. Are you here? But because of that, I understood that she's going to be working. But I said, look, with two incomes, we have a certain level of lifestyle that we can live at. But I said, we're not going to live too high in our lifestyle, because when the kids come along or things happen, the season changes and you're not able to do what you're doing, we don't want to be in a place where we struggle, where you feel pressured. If you want to work, fine. But if you don't, we're going to live off and be at a certain level that we can maintain that. And so that's wisdom. In 1 Timothy 5 verse 8, what does the Bible say? If anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So we need to take leadership even in the finances, you know? There's times in our marriage I make more money. Right now she's making more money, but I'm like, go baby, go, amen. You know, last month had our best month. Well, come on, let's believe for an even better month. I mean, faith to faith, glory to glory, that's fine. But the pressure is not there. Are you here? God blesses and God provides, and you know, and we're in different season. We're a team, but I'm still the leader. We still make decisions. She didn't go out and make a major purchase and come home and, oh, baby, I did. I'm like, whoa, we didn't have a conversation. Are you here? That's respect. There's still leadership there in it, but she's free to do what God's called her to do. But we need to be the provider. Are you here? The husband should provide. The husband should give account for how we're managing our finances. My wife, she just does what she wants, and you're in debt all the time, and she needs to have plastic surgery. Not on the outward, come on that credit card. Because there's no self-control, there's the emotional thing. And well, I just let her do whatever she wants to do. And then what? You're digging a hole for your family. You take some leadership, have a conversation. Amen. Oh, it got real quiet here. I didn't get no amens on that one. Manage. Taking leadership, talking, not as a dictator, but as a leader in what God has called us to do so that we can prosper, that we can be blessed. Amen? Number three, what is a woman wanting? What does God call us to be? As a man, we're called to be a physician. What does that mean? We offer comfort. We offer support. If our wife's ill or the stress that's going on or they're dealing with their emotions, we come in with sensitivity as a physician. A physician doesn't just come and say, oh, shut up and take the scalpel and cut your leg off. Come on. There's a bedside manner. I mean, no one wants a physician like that. They get all the one Yelp reviews. I wish I could give zero, because they know the job. They know what to do, but there's no interaction. There's no emotional support. The best doctors that everyone loves are those that explain. They're patient. You look at the reviews. They take time to explain the procedure. They're caring. They still go in and they're forceful and you know, they're not double-minded. Should I cut? Should I not cut? You know, they just, they do it, you know. They don't pass out in the middle of the surgery because of blood. There's the strength that's there, but yet they're a good physician. Amen? So what are we able to do? Jesus, what a great example. The Bible says Jesus wept. You know, I grew up in a time where it said, real men don't cry. So what'd you have to tear you? Better suck it up. But that's not the example. Jesus wept. Shortest verses in the Bible. Jesus wept. Not because he was hopeless, not because of despair, but because he was moved and he identified with the emotions of the people that were grieving, and he grieved with them. That's what we need to do. Amen. And be able to identify with that. You know, sometimes women are the ones, they cry a little bit more, but you know, when we go to the movies, I cry the most. Not that no one else feels, but my kids are all like, they're all watching, dad's gonna cry, I'm just waiting, he's gonna cry. But I'm proud of my tears, come on. I cried in Top Gun, I mean, come on, like, hey, like, because why? I can be moved, I can feel. There's something, you know, move with emotion and be okay to do that. It doesn't make us, you know, weak. Makes us strong, because we can identify. We're not moved without getting depression involved, but we're moved by what's happening around us. We're moved by people's infirmity. We're moved by the burden for our nation and for the church and whatever it is God's put upon us. Are you here? Amen? Number four, what does a woman want? What has God created us? He's created us as men to be the general. Let's say a general, it doesn't mean a dictator again. What does it mean? You're decisive. We need decisive men, not double-minded men. Well, I don't know. Ask your mother. I don't know. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? You know, some guys get together. It drives me crazy. Like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? I'm like, let's go here. Come on. Like, everyone's like, oh, okay. Someone finally made a decision. Sometimes guys, especially in high school, you know, it's like, what do you want? What do you want to do, Adam? Somebody make a decision. Are you here? Let's get a consensus. Someone's going to make a decision. Family is not a democracy. Business is not a democracy. Should we work today or should we play golf? No, you better show up and clock in. There's a structure there. There's a leadership there. We've got to be decisive. When there's a crisis, what do? We say attention. When there's a crisis in finances, this is what we're going to do. When we have a family issue, this is what we're going to do. And we start putting things in order. Sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes the unexpected things happen. You don't always plan for a crisis. Hello? But in that tough time, we get up and we're strong and we're decisive sometimes when we need to be. Amen? That's not dictatorship. It's leadership. And God has called us to be like that. I mean, not that women can't make decisions, but sometimes in that motion, you know, the women are the weaker vessel. They could be dealing with emotion, dealing with different things. We need to step up and be that pillar of support together. Amen? Amen. Number five, are you learning something?
Yes.
What's God called us to be? What do women want? That we be the prophet. We be the prophet. What does a prophet do? They see. They know direction. Come on, women, if you're dating a man and he doesn't know where he's going, I mean, I'm not saying you have a 20-year plan, but you better know where you're going. Well, I don't know where, let's just get married. We're just in love. Let's just elope and figure it out. Run. Because you'll still be figuring out 10 years later. There's no vision. There's no focus that's there. We need to be decisive, but have a vision. Where are we going? Where are we going as a church? Where are we going as a family? Where's our business going? What are we wanting to see? A prophet, well, we hear from God. What does a prophet do? They say, let me show you where to go. Where are we heading? Well, there's a mountain over there, and we're going down the mountain, around the bend. Where do we go after that? I don't know. I haven't got that far, but that's as much as God's giving me right now. And we're able to go. Not that women can't have that, but, you know, so I've heard men say, you know, my wife is the one that hears from God. Whenever I want to know what God's saying, I talk to my wife. I'm like, you lazy thing, why don't you go and pray? Come on. When I go to my wife, I'm like, God spoke to me. What do you think? And it's a confirmation. If my wife said, well, I feel God saying this, well, he ain't spoke to me, we ain't moving. I'll take it. I'm going to bring it to the Lord. I value that input. But come on, I'm the one that's be a leader. I'm not going to get somewhere else like, well, the Holy Spirit told my wife. Why didn't you pray in here? Maybe your wife heard wrongly. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Are you here? But 9 out of 10 times I said, you know, I have an amount. Let's give something. Babe, that's the amount that God spoke to me. I said, I'm feeling it. Yes, I was just praying that. Even sometimes we're like, where do you want to eat? What are you thinking of? We think of the same thing. There's a connection that's there, and that's great. But we can't abdicate that. We still have to put in. People say, women are more sensitive. Women are more intuitive. Yeah. I mean, but doesn't mean we can't develop that. My wife can prophesy, but I can prophesy. My wife can hear God, but I can hear from God. She knows the word, but I know the word of God. I taught her everything she knows. Come on. And she was my disciple before she was, you know. But I'm involved. But it's not like that. So what do you see women, you know, and you know, we say, well, women are the weaker vessel. But you know what? Women can be stronger than a man. Oh, I get no amens on the men on that. We're like, well, no, she can't. Oh, yeah, I've seen, talk to Joey. He'll introduce you to some people. He judges the bodybuilding contest. I've seen some women, and they're like, the men all go to the other side of the gym, right, when they're working out, because they can bench press more. They might not have as much genetically to start with, but because of reason of use, because they're working out, because they go to the gym twice a day, every day, and you go once a month. Come on. They're stronger. They can develop that. Why? Because of reason of you. So yeah, maybe someone's more intuitive or given, but you can develop that the same way. Are you here? Well, we get out of our head and just get out of our intellect and train up our spirit so that we can not just be naturally minded, but spiritually minded. Are you here? And we can hear what God is saying. Don't ever say, my wife's my Holy Spirit, or my wife, you hear all this kind of stuff. And I understand what people are saying, because there's a helper there, and they are the role of the helper. That's true. But don't abdicate authority and leadership. Well, I'm not, don't be prophetic. My wife's the prophet, all the prophets are the women. No, look in the Bible, they were all men. Are you here? Yeah. Not that women can't be prophets, but men. God's called us to be prophetic. And look at Abraham in Genesis 12. We don't have time to look at the whole verse, but what happened? The Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country. Go from your father's house to the place that I'm going to call you, and I'm going to bless you. I'll be the cause you to be the head and not the tail, and cause you to be a great nation. Now, how many know when Abraham got up to go, his family came with him? It was a family decision. But I'm sure he went back, and the kids were like, Dad, this is a great place. Why do we want to move? You know, come on. I got plans, my friends. I'm sure the wife was like, because Abraham had a lot of kids, like, why don't we just stay here? Let's have a staycation, because a vacation is too much work. Can you imagine all the luggage, and like, and you're going to expect me to pack all that? Like, Abraham, come on, let's just stay here. But it wasn't a discussion. He took leadership. This is what God is saying. And of course, he dealt in care. I'm sure there were some objections. But because he knew what God had said, he was obedient. And it brought about a radical change that blessed his whole family, even Lot. Are you here? Yeah. That's the role that God's given us. Number six, God's called us to be the priest. Someone say the priest. The priest in our home, the priest in our marriage, the priest in our connect group, the priest in our business. What does it mean to be a priest? The priest is the spiritual leader. Well, we lead spiritually. The priest is the one, like the pastor, he takes the needs of the people to God. And he comes from God, and he comes back to the people, and basically to address the needs and address the issues that are there. So what are we doing? We're coming on behalf of our family. We're coming on behalf of our nation. We're coming on behalf of our church. We're coming back on behalf of our children before the Lord, so that we can begin to lead, that we can begin to guide. That what does a priest do? Promote spiritual growth. That we're the nurturer, that we help to nurture our kids. We help to encourage our kids. We help to do, there's statistics that say if the father and the mother worship together, 86% of kids will continue in church. But if it's just the mother, it goes down to 28%. Because there's something to be said about that. And thank God for moms and single moms, and God helps us, and the church is there, and God will bring the support there. You know, I thank God I still ended up okay. I wasn't a statistic. All my family, they love God, and they're good marriage, and we broke the cycle. But that's not God's ideal. Are you here? God wants there to be the husband, the wife, a man and a woman moving together. Amen? What's the job of the leader? We look at Job in Job chapter 1. As the priest, and it says there was a man named Job in the land of Uz, and he was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters that were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. He was successful, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. But it doesn't stop there. It says the sons would go and they would feast in their houses on an appointed day. They would invite their sisters to eat and drink with them. And so it was in the days of feasting, and when they'd run his course, Job would send and sanctify them. He would rise up early in the morning and he'd offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that some of my sons have sinned or cursed God in their hearts. And Job did this regularly. What did he do? He came on behalf of his family before God. To plead for mercy, to offer the sacrifice. Thank God we don't have to get up, Chris, in the morning and go and slay a donkey or slay a sheep or do something like that. It's a bit messy. But what is the sacrifice? Our prayers. That we're standing in the gap for our family. We're standing in our gap for our future. Start praying. Well, I'm single. I don't have a family. We'll be praying for your future wife. Be praying for your future husband. Be praying for your children. Oh, I don't know if I want children. It's so crazy to raise kids in this age. Pray for them. W, you ain't having my kids. Come on. There's a lot of, you know, seduction out there. Well, pray they will see the demon behind the seduction. Pray they'll have discernment. Begin to pray. You can begin to pray. Start to declare. I'm already praying for my kids' spouses. They're not even dating yet. They don't get to date till they're 18. Come on. Why? Because anybody they're dating isn't marriage material. Oh, I didn't get no amens on that. Well, they need to learn to date. They need to look at the statistic. You want your kids to be a statistic? Look at the statistics. I'm not even going to get into that because I might get in trouble. We'll keep it nice on Father's Day. But come on, be wise. What do you want to do? Well, they want to go out. I'm not saying they have to be a nun or they have to be in a monastery. But go out in groups. Develop friendships with men. Develop friendship with girls. But come on, if he ain't got a job, you don't date him. Adam had a job before he had a wife. Come on. And he wants the right, and you know, come on, I was a teenager once too, amen? Are you here? Good preaching, Pastor Darren. That's some wisdom. You do what you want to, but don't become a statistic, amen? What was Job? Why was he the leader? The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 7, it says, remember those who rule over you, who've spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. Consider the outcome of their conduct. All the points of leadership here is not about position. It's about their conduct. It's about their faith. It's about how they live and the word that they spoke and their words and their life lined up together. That's being the priest, that we become that nurture. As men, being an example. Women are examples too. But sometimes men, we pull back. We need to be the examples. It shouldn't be just the women praying. It shouldn't be just the women leading. Thank God, nothing wrong with it. We've got great women connect group leaders. We've got great, but there was one time all the connect group leaders were women. So something's wrong with this picture. We need men. And even in a group where the woman's leading, we need a strong man. Because only men can lead men a certain way. Only women can, thank God I got a wife. People, you know, people don't get married. I'm serving God. When you got a wife, the wife helps me with all the women. Come on. Amen. She can help the women better than I can. I can preach, I can teach, but there's certain stuff like, you don't understand. I don't understand. I'm sorry. Because I'm not a woman. Amen. But with the men, I get it. Amen. And so we're better. Not that we can't help. And, you know, I'm not like I got a problem, but like, you know, I'm made differently. I'm wired differently. I don't get it all the time. She's much better. Amen. And so, amen. I'm gonna move on. All right. So the elders, they were prepared to answer to God for the health of the people. So we need to take responsibility. Amen. The last thing that women are wanting, the last thing that God has called us to be, as men, we need to be kings. Come on, we need to be kings. What is being a king? It doesn't mean being, I'm the crown, you know, look at my crown, look how awesome I am. No. What does it mean? It speaks of nobility. Nobility. A good king, they had there's nobility to them in the way they carry themselves and the way they behave and the way they rule and the way they reign. Their own life, their own family. Are you here? And therefore they can rule the nation. A good leader must be able to motivate, must be able to communicate, and they must be decisive. We look at judges and thank God for Deborah. In Judges chapter 4, Deborah was a prophetess. She was there. She's the wife of Lippadoth and was judging Israel at that time. But what happened? We see Barak come up. And Barak is the warrior. But Barak had a problem. He was indecisive. She called for Barak in verse 6, and I'm moving a little bit faster, guys. It said, he sent and they called for Barak, the son of Ibn Noam from Kadesh and Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops in Mount Tabor. Take with you 10,000 men and sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. Barak knew God had called him. He wasn't like, oh, okay, is this what God wants us to do? He knew it. She said, has not God said, meaning you know this is what God said. But Barak wasn't doing it. He was indecisive. And she said, and against you, I'll deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army and his chariots and his multitude of the river, and I'm delivered in your hand. Didn't God say this? Question mark. It wasn't an instruction. It wasn't a not. He already knew this. And Barak said to her, if you go with me, then I'll go. But if you don't go with me, I'm not going. He was indecisive. And so she answered as a prophet. She said, and I'll surely go with you. Nevertheless, there's going to be no glory for you in the journey you're taking. For the Lord will sell Sisera, into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. What do you say? God called Barak to do it. She was encouraging him. You're out there to fight. You're called to do it. And he said, no. I'm not going to go unless you go with me. He didn't say, come on, baby, let's go. Let's go kill this giant. It wasn't the issue with the woman going with him. It was the issue, I'm not going to obey God. I don't trust myself. I'm not confident. And because of that, he was not able to do things the way God did. God still honored it. But it wasn't real obedience. It wasn't real leadership. It wasn't taking responsibility. A leader must take responsibility for our action. The greatest definition of leadership, what is a leader? Someone who makes things happen. You heard this saying, there's some people that make things happen. There's some people that watch things happen. And there's some people that wonder what happened. They have no idea. They're clueless. Come on. But we're called to be leaders. Don't be clueless with what's happening with your wife. Don't be clueless with what's happening with your family. Don't be clueless what's going on in your connect group. Be clueless what's happening in your church. What's clueless happening in your nation. Be a leader. Be decisive. Be a king. We're kings and priests, the Bible says, after Melchizedek, just like Jesus says. Be someone who rules, who stands and represents the kingdom. Well, I don't like saying anything, and you're around guys and they're talking smack. Speak up and say, let's not talk like that. Demeaning women, hey, no, let's not talk about women like that. Let's be someone who stands up for what's right and be a leader. That's what God's calling us to be. Well, I don't want conflict. That's just how they are. Silence is consent. You don't believe that? Just have kids. Dad, is it okay? You keep quiet, they'll do it. Silence is consent. You got to speak up for what's right. I mean, history has proven when the standard of men drops in the church leadership drops, the morality drops, society begins to decline. We need strong men to rise up. We've got strong women. If a strong men rise up, the women are liberated to be what they've called to be. But if there's just women, we find a problem. If it's just women in teaching Sunday school, there's something lacking. It's just women that are here ushering. Thank God we don't have just women. Thank God for the women, but we see men. If it's just women leading and they're lady song leaders, what happened? God becomes emasculated. Just women writing songs, you know. I love the songs that we sing, and we've got a very balanced team up here on purpose. Amen? But, you know, if it's just the woman, you hear the song, you know, God gonna give me a sloppy wet kiss. I'm like, God and I, we don't roll that way. Come on. I'll give you a brotherly hug, you can give me a brotherly kiss, but you try to give me a sloppy wet kiss, you're getting the fivefold ministry. And what do? I understand there's that identify, but like, that's not how we are. Come on. Our perspective, how we represent God is different. Are you here? Now, my wife can give me a sloppy wet kiss. But you get the phone. We need that part of God that he's put in us to there. Men and women, it's not that men and women, we just have different roles. We have different distinctives. God has masculine and feminine. But when he pulled out the feminine from man and made it woman, come on, we don't have that part. But we need to see both parts. We can't represent what's not us. And so we have men trying to be feminine, and we try women trying to be masculine. No, be who God's called you to be. And within that, I'm going to say, women can play sports. Women can be, that don't make you a man. That makes you an athlete. Are you here? You're a female athlete. Come on, so we ain't even do that. Men are trying to play women's sports. And what? I'm not even gonna go there, but the confusion is real. You made a man. Well, I'm not masculine. I don't have an 8-pack. I don't play sports. Well, it's okay. You're creative. Be creative. God is creative too. You know, you're not none of those things, but you're the nerd who's the bookworm, and you know, you're all about your studies, and you know, we made fun of you in school, and now everybody works for you. Come on. God's an intellectual. Be that distinctive. It's not one thing. But what is the attribute? It's the leadership in that realm and whatever it is that God's called you to do. And for women, it's the same. And when men and women fulfill the role, today's Father's Day, so we're talking about the men. Come on, we liberate one another to be who God's called us to be. In Proverbs 31, verse 23, we always talk about the Proverbs 31 woman. But it refers to her husband here. In verse 23, it says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Her husband, in verse, the second part, it says, also, he praises her. So when we see all the great things of the Proverbs 31 woman, what does it show? There's a husband who's taking leadership, taking his role, and liberating his wife to be who God's called her to be. And that's what God wants us to be. That the husband is pictured, he's engaged, he's leading, he's not at home and being the house husband. And I was like, no, that we can't help. Come on, I do housework. Come on, I do clean. It's not about that. It's this stereotypical thing. But he wasn't disengaged so his wife could do something. They were both engaged. So husbands, we need to take leadership. Even if the leadership style is different than our wife, your wife might be called to fivefold ministry. You're not. You're still a leader. You know, one of the greatest examples of that is Joyce Meyer. She's an amazing woman in her 70s, still preaching. But let me tell you, I met her husband. He wears the pants. Come on, when he speaks up, she listens. You know, I've seen him correct her. In the meals, the kids are behaving and he's taking rulership. He doesn't get up and speak, but behind the scenes, he's got the heart. Behind the scenes, he's protecting his wife. Behind the scenes, he's taking leadership. He's not the pulpiteer. God didn't give him the gift of the gab, but he's taking leadership. So we don't have to be, intimidated with your gift. You know, sometimes our wife out preach us. My wife preached, I'm like, oh my God, that was awesome, baby. I don't know what I'm gonna do next week. Come on. I told Pastor Troy in the first service, I'm like, sometimes Ammon's, up here preaching. I'm like, bro, you're in trouble. How are you gonna outdo that? But our ego, what do we do? I said, I taught her everything she knows. Come on. I give her credit for what she does. And I'm supporting, go baby. She wrote her book before. I haven't written my book yet. I've been writing a book. She beat me to it. But I'm supporting her. You know, she wrote the foreword and honored me. You know, in that. I didn't tell her to do that. She did that. But I'm like, go, baby. I'm helping support her. Let's do it. We're having our first women's conference. We need to have a men's conference too. But women, no, that's what God's doing. Go for it, baby. Be successful. Be in what you do. It doesn't take away from who I am. Are you here? We're called to do different. I can't do what she does. But she can't do what I do. But when we do it together, come on, it's better. Amen. Jesus said this in closing, John 13, verse 15, he said, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Jesus is a great example of a leader. He's the greatest example for us as men. Manhood and Christ-likeness are synonymous. Pictures paint 1,000 words, but actions are worth 1,000,000. It's not what we say. It's what we do, amen? And lead by your ability to serve. Don't go home and say, I'm the head. Don't you know I'm the king? No, no, no. Treat her like a queen. She'll treat you like a king. You don't have a queen yet? Be kingly. Come on, and God will bring your queen along. Are you here? But let's rise up. Come on, let's take the heart of God in what we do. And through our ability to serve, come on, we will lead, amen? What do we need to do? How do we need to lead? Number one, we need to be what? Let's put it up, guys. Let's be the protector. Let's be the provider. Let's be the physician. Let's be indecisive. Don't just make a decision. Get the mind of God, but be decisive. If it's scary, come on, be decisive. And know that God is with us. Let's be the prophet. Let's be the priest. Let's be the king. Come on, how many women you want a man like that? Amen. All the single ladies, get a man like that. What's your checklist? Oh, 6'1" and this one. No, no, no. All of that will fade away. Don't just look at the physical part. You gotta have attraction, but be attracted more than that. Come on. Every man gets married and loses his six pack usually. Come on. Don't be in love with a six pack. I'm joking. But focus on the attributes of God that are gonna lead you, protect you, and guide you. Come on, we do that. Women are free. Come on, to be the Deborahs, to be the Esthers, to be released in what God has called them to. That men and women are running together in our role, in our distinctive, building the kingdom of God, taking leadership, and changing our world for Jesus. And everybody said,